Hello. Hi, this is Ana Sanchez, your host for today regarding our She Served podcast. On our interview today, we are having a special guest, Master Sergeant Etterly from the 94th Airlift Wing. Welcome, Master Sergeant Etterly.
Hi, thank you so much.
I appreciate you coming on over and sharing with us your experiences as a female in the military. As we know, the numbers of women in the military is growing, and Air Force is right there on the money. So tell me about yourself, ma'am.
Sure. So even as you just said, the Air Force is growing. So I've actually been in for 15 years.
Wow, 15.
As a reservist. And when I first joined, I remember I was one of two females in that unit that were TRs. And just here recently, I think I counted about 20.
Wow.
So that was a really nice increase. It might be a little bit more than 20 as well. I just thought it was pretty exciting. So I've been in 15 years enlisted, and I've seen the numbers grow, total numbers as well as the female to male ratio.
Mm-hmm.
That's been pretty exciting to watch. I've seen kind of different generations come in at this point.
Yeah.
And see how their generations are impacting the Air Force. So,
wow, that's amazing. Two out of how many people in that squadron or unit that you were in?
I believe it was maybe probably 120 to 140 at that time.
Wow, that has grown from 2 to 20. That's amazing. What was your AFSC when you came in first?
Actually came in to security forces.
Mm-hmm. AFSC, that was your security forces role. And how long were you in that AFSC?
Well, actually, I just finished a little less than 15 years in that AFSC. And I started off as a journeyman where I was training. Experiencing the training, basically. As a fire team member, I became a fire team leader. And in case, for those who don't understand, fire team is a group of four, and three fire teams equals one squad.
Wow.
So went from a fire team member to a fire team leader to a squad leader. And then I eventually did become, took some other roles on the admin side of things. So I've done quite a bit of different things within security forces. So it's just been a lot, a lot of learning experiences. And as you know, the Air Force is an ever-evolving door, so we have to continue to change.
And that flexibility and resilience, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So one AFSC in the last 15 years, that's what you've had in the security forces.
Yes. And actually, I just cross-trained within the past couple months, actually.
Okay. Tell me about what you're doing now.
So I'm retraining into admin.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually moved completely into that role yet, but what I do enjoy about that is the flexibility that comes with that. There is a lot to do as admin,
mm-hmm.
but also I really enjoy the bird's eye view of mission planning and mission maintaining.
Wow. That is wonderful that you're able to do that after being in security forces and a male-dominated area of the Air Force. How about now where you are? Is it still male-dominated, or are there more women that you've seen?
Well, now that you say that, the office I'm assigned to, they're all males, actually, and I am the only female in there right now. So,
that is interesting.
Now, I do understand that there are more female admins. There's a higher ratio. I don't know what that ratio is,
mm-hmm.
but it's a higher ratio female in admin positions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that'll change as I learn my new counterparts and start training and whatnot.
Wow. When you were in the security forces for 15 years, what was the best part of it? And what was it like to be a female in that aspect?
Well, I mean, that's a big question. So in security forces, we basically, the TR is actually trained as, we are the ground forces, basically. Mm-hmm. So we do have an army component in our training.
Uh-huh.
So we did do a lot of field training. And I think some of the best parts of that is that I would be running and gunning, quite literally, along with the male counterparts.
Wow.
And nothing really... I don't ever recall anyone holding it against me that I was female. And the one story I remember is, and my supervisor will tell this story over and over again.
Yeah.
But we were working so hard, and he remembers that I actually got sick in the middle of an exercise, as in I had to regurgitate because we were working out so hard. We were running so fast back and forth, and I was carrying probably like 80 pounds, 60 to 80 pounds of gear, depending on how much ammo I was carrying at the time.
Oh.
Yeah. And I recall my supervisor said that he saw me. I had to throw up. Sorry for the word on recording, but I had to throw up, and he said he just remembers me wiping my mouth, and then I got up and started running again.
Oh.
And I thought that was one of the coolest things that I could have experienced, because the guys kind of just laughed and said, well, that's cool, and then kept it moving, and we went on to our next objective.
Was it because you were so focused, or because you wanted to prove yourself? What was going through your mind at that time?
I've never really been the person who tries to prove myself, at least not to anyone else. Uh-huh. I'll do it to myself.
Okay, all right.
I'll try to prove things to myself, but I've never been someone who will try to prove myself to anyone else.
That's a good distinction.
No, I think it was just a physical reaction to working hard.
Mm-hmm. 60 to 80 pounds of ammo. What were you carrying? And now,
it really just depends. I mean, I'm sure we were full battle rattle. You know, you got the heavy Kevlar vest and the bulletproof plates and full gear. You got your duty belt on, and of course you have the 240 Bravo, which of course is the heaviest gun that they always give to the smallest girl. Then you have to carry the ammo on top of that. So, I mean, that's just what you carry, you know?
My goodness. Now, speaking of the Kevlar vest, I've read that they've made a lot of changes for women in the military. Some women are more endowed in their chest area than others, and for that to be a one size fits all male female, it doesn't do the job for some women, right? And I'm learning that they're making changes, so that's a good thing again.
Yes. Please make those changes faster.
Faster, yes. Now is the word.
Thank you.
Wow, I could just visualize you running and doing all those and just wipe and move on to the next task at hand, right?
Yeah, and you know, I do have two older brothers that are only a couple of years older than me, and I think they probably helped me develop into the airman that I am, that I could just do those things and think twice about it.
Yes, yes. Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you for them, right? And thank you for your persistence as well. Yeah. How did the military, the 15 years of service in the military, and you're still in, right?
Yes.
How did your service impact your personality on who you are today?
You know, I think I think I'm a little more decisive and disciplined than I would have been otherwise. Before the military, I was actually, I moved around quite a bit. Yeah. And I remember, I moved to different states and different locations at least 25 times before I joined the Air Force.
Wow.
So Air Force provided me, and this is probably also what attracted me, provided me stability on one place, but also gave me freedom to go where I wanted to go.
Wow. Because the statistics of people moving is every 5 years you move. But how many times? 25 times? 26 times you moved?
Yeah, 25 times early in my early life.
Wow. With your family then, I would assume?
Yeah, mostly with them. I moved out when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my dad had his job and my mom had their job. So we did move around with that quite a bit.
Mm.
And then after that, I moved on. And honestly, I think I just kept moving because I hadn't quite found the place where I fit in yet. And then I did join the Air Force. What? And then I found where I needed to be, and I've kind of been stable ever since.
Nice. What made you decide? I mean, from moving around and then age 17 moving to be independent, and what made you decide to go into the Air Force or in the military?
Oh, sure. So I was in college. I did a couple years of college, and honestly, I didn't have the money to continue college.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I took a break, kind of took a couple of years off from school, and I asked myself, what is it that I really want?
Mm.
And from there, I always told people, and I never thought I'd actually do it, that if I ever had to join the military, it would be the Air Force. And so, not that I had to join the military, but it was a very conscious decision. And I was drawn to the discipline factor, the integrity, service before self, excellence in all we do. I was drawn to those core values within the Air Force that had me want to become part of the military.
Wow. So those core values mean a lot to you as a female service member?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
With your experience in the military, 15 years in security forces, and then moving on and transitioning and cross-training, what would be the best advice to those countless women that are like, okay, we are being accepted in the military. There's more people, more women in the military. How would you advise them on how to start?
I think there's been a really great, a groundbreaking factors from women in the military who've gone on before me, who have established a paved road for us. And that road has never been smoother than it is right now. So of course I would encourage females to join the military. But at the same time, it's not a perfect road. It's not totally smooth right now, but it is the smoothest it has ever been.
Yes.
And I guess what I would suggest is basically you're on a road that has been paved by women before you.
Right.
And you can continue on that road, follow that road, and smooth it out as you continue on that road yourself for the women that are coming up behind you.
I like that. Smooth that road out that has been paved primarily by a few women, right? Wow. That is impactful statement that you just said. I like that. Anything that you might have changed in your career? What could have made it different?
Well, my recruiter was honest with me in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I probably would have chosen a different career field.
Oh.
But I don't think I would change it. I am very thankful for the path that security forces has led me down, including my civilian life as well. And I am very blessed to be where I am right now. And I do owe a lot of that to security forces.
Wow. That's amazing. That's an amazing journey. It seems like 15 years just flew by, but then, you know, there's some real challenges, but you seem very successful in that field and then moving on to another career field.
Yes. I'm very fortunate. I'm just very fortunate. And I know this is a cliche thing to say, but I would not be where I am if it weren't for the wonderful supervisors that I've had.
Wow.
And other people who are just trying to look out for a wingman or an airman and helping me along the way.
Yes. We stand side by side with them, right? And those supervisors, those mentors. I agree on that one. It's needed, right? We need it. These are uncharted territories and we learn from each other. Now, you are still in the reserves, right? But you have federal GS job that you're working on?
Yes, I am a government employee as well. You want me to talk about that a
little
bit? Yeah,
yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay, well, let me take you back to security forces first. So, actually, before I joined the Air Force, I was actually working at a background investigations office. And I was just data entry. So I was just data entry personnel. And that led me to security forces in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And security forces in the Air Force led me to a special victims detective in a local police department.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to the mental health and violence prevention, which is what I'm doing now. I focus on running programs for violence prevention as well as building resiliency.
Mm.
And I concentrate on doing that for government employees to include the 94th Airlift Wing.
Because this is a new position that the Air Force a couple years ago just started, right?
It's about 4 or 5 years ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And the title that you have right now, Master Sergeant Etterly?
As a civilian, it is specialist for the primary prevention of violence.
Okay. All right. So that keeps you busy now. Now this is a continuation of your military service, but then it's a civilian job, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pay forward to the airmen or to your wingmen that you help in this new career field that you are in?
You know, I will say this. When I started this new position as violence prevention, and people knew they could talk to me about some things, my fellow airmen, actually, they took that opportunity to do so. And I, even though I am in civilian status, I am very active with the military side, with the airmen, and they do. Some people just need to talk because the military is stressful.
Yeah,
The balance between military and civilian life is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I am able to be there, and I am able to give a listening ear, and that is my service, and kind of where my passions lie in life.
Yeah,
where I truly just want to help. My life mission is that I will leave this world just a tiny bit better than when I entered it.
Oh, that you do every day.
and if I can do that by what I do now as a civilian or as a military master sergeant, then I'm going to do that.
Wow. So you still do the security forces on your weekend drill, right? Your monthly?
Nope, because I just cross-trained, so I'll be doing the admin on my monthly drill.
In security forces?
I'll be moved to a different office, and so it'll be outside of security forces.
Okay. Where will you be working in admin position?
I have not been given that assignment yet.
Okay. It will be coming. As we know in the military, just wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Hurry up and wait is the word, right?
Right now, I just got to finish the paperwork, right?
I hear you. What makes you unique, Master Sergeant Etterly?
What makes me unique? That's a very hard question. Let me think. So, you know, if you want me to answer that on like an outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you pulled that in, right?
Go ahead.
You pull in all the things that you're doing right now as to who you are, right?
Yes. So, you know, one being a female and a minority kind of makes it unique, first of all.
Yes.
But that a female minority in the military, I mean, we can just keep tacking things onto that. You know, female minority in the military and security forces is
Aha.
always a very unique position. You know, my heritage makes me unique. My worldview makes me just the individual ex life experiences that I've had have make me very unique, I believe.
I totally agree with you because I know for a fact, statistics, there's 1% of the population in the United States is the military.
Right.
In the Air Force, there's a tad more women compared to like the Marines or the Army. And then what you mentioned, your heritage, your ethnicity, your worldview makes you more unique because of your outlook in life or your upbringing and what you've done, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes. How would you describe yourself in three words? What adjectives would you put?
That's a hard question. I'll answer it this way. So I said earlier we have the Air Force core values, which are integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. But I also have the Etterly core values, which I don't know if I could describe myself in these words, but this is what I want to live by. I want to be discerning, resilient, and persistent. And
Discerning, resilient, and persistent. Yeah.
resilient, persistent, and discerning.
How would you develop more of those things? How do you keep developing those core values, the Etterly core values?
Well, you know, life makes me do that. You know, sometimes I don't have a choice but to continue on, which is the persistence. And resilience, you know, you actually have to be very intentional about building resilience sometimes. You have to be very intentional with your thought processes and changing your immediate thoughts. You know, sometimes your immediate thoughts are not the right ones and you need to tweak them so that they are positive and not negative. I personally take a lot of time to be aware of who I am as a person. And when I do something, I don't understand why I did it. I like to take time to figure out why I did that or what provoked me to do something.
Wow, those are amazing core values from Master Sergeant Etterly. I think we need to incorporate that in our Air Force core values as well.
I'll consider aligning,
What was the most challenging task that you've had? I know you've talked about carrying that 80-pound gear during that exercise. Anything more that you can remember that stands out from your service?
You know, so a couple things. You know, nothing, I wouldn't say anything physical that we've done is challenging. What I will say is challenging is the psychological aspect of a deployment. That is challenging.
Okay.
Yeah, so your mind goes through some things when the longer you're away from your life and your family and your support system. And it really does challenge you to make sure you know who you are and you stay consistent with who you are. Because when you're on a deployment, other than doing your job, you don't have any obligation to do what you have to do. So disciplining yourself really helped me in that challenging task. But I have to tell you, Captain Sanchez, the most difficult thing I've done is teleworking during COVID while homeschooling. I know that sounds silly, but that is probably the most challenging thing I've done in the military.
Yes.
Is the mental prep that goes into that. And the, because we were never, that's probably something we never really prepared for, to be honest.
That is very true.
We've had to adapt and just keep it moving.
Yep. We were just thrown in because of COVID-19 here. Safety first, right? We know that. But how do you challenge that when you have a, how old is your son now?
3
years old, who's got that magical thinking and it's me first, I, me, mine, right? How do you challenge that? Yes.
So virtual preschool is not doing very well.
It is amazing that you're able to juggle all of that, which is one of my questions. How do you even juggle? You know, how do you start your day? Your routine has changed because now you're at home, telework, sorry, and then you have your 3-year-old.
Right. So really, honestly, just depends on the day, what's on the schedule for the day. And it has come down to me tackling my life one day at a time. This is probably what I should have been doing in the first place, let's be honest. But yeah, so it really just depends on how the day is. I have a wonderful husband who's able to be flexible to help me make sure that my mission is met each day. And that's really the family unit is really probably key to it all. Cause without, and now get me, my kid is pretty awesome. He challenges me that he's 3, but he does make my life, quite easy. He makes some things quite easy.
He's adorable. He is adorable. As a mama, how do you use your skills as a female, juggling all these things, these responsibilities that's thrown at you?
How do I do that? It's not something you could probably just figure out how to do overnight. I think it was honestly 15 years of training and being disciplined and preparing is what has gotten me to this point where I am able to juggle all those things. And honestly, some days I don't juggle as well as I do other days.
Yeah. Thank you for the honesty.
I have found that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you for that honesty. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sometimes something has to give, right? It cannot be all 100% because it cannot be. What's the priority?
Absolutely. And actually prioritizing things is what is something I'm learning how to do now. Like sometimes you have to just decide to drop a ball so you can catch the next one.
That's a good analogy there. Do you think that would be like a weakness, or is it a strength being a female? It's like, okay, prioritize.
Are you kidding? Being female is never a weakness.
I agree.
Anything, it makes you stronger. And I'm not saying this as a feminist. I'm saying this as like a legitimately real, like,
yeah.
You see, military is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that men don't work hard and they don't, they're weak. But when a woman does it in heels or while she's pregnant and giving life to another human.
Yes.
Like, I've never seen such strength.
Mm-hmm. This is the She Served podcast, and we will continue our interview with Master Sergeant Etterly and her final words with regards to being an airman in the United States Air Force, being the new violence prevention specialist for the 94th Airlift Wing, and also her love of being a mother. Being a female, being a mama, I think, and being in the military, it's like, whoa, okay, what else can you throw at me that I cannot do, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not myself.
No.
Now, I'm not saying that it's to challenge me, okay? I'm just saying. I feel very empowered being a woman and being able to do everything I do. I'm very empowered. And I'm finding a great balance.
Yes, yes. It's a wonderful thing, right? I mean, we just being resilient. And I see that in you. And I've known you for a couple years now. And it's amazing. I mean, seeing you as a mama is a wonderful thing. So.
Thank you.
Do you? Yes, yes. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share?
I think we've covered a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one thing I would like to add is, on the story of sacrifice, right? So a common thing that I hear just being in the military, someone will say, thank you for your service. And for years I struggled with, how do you reply to that?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked myself, I was like, you know what? It's my privilege.
Yes.
So now when someone says that, I tell them it's my privilege to be able to serve.
Yes.
Another thing I've learned along the way is, you know, the first time you enlist, people will tell you, thank you for your sacrifice. And honestly, the first enlistment, I didn't feel like I sacrificed anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that third and the second, third and fourth enlistment, when I realized I am sacrificing time with my family, time with my son, to make sure that we have freedom, because freedom isn't free.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the sacrifice came in. And I'm not trying to make myself a martyr here. I'm just, it becomes a sacrifice when you have to give up a lot of other things. I'm privileged to be able to do that.
Wow. Well said, Master Sergeant Etterly. Thank you so much for taking this time away from your family and your son who's waiting for you and your mommy hugs on this afternoon for being interviewed for our She Served podcast. Thank you so much. Have a
Thank
good
you.
Night. Take care.